Welcome to the Awaken Podcast. At Awaken Church, we are passionate about wrestling with and being unraveled by the Christian scriptures. Ideally, we do this together around the table in the neighborhood of Bowness. As we see it, Jesus has invited all of us to encounter him in a diverse community and participate with him in a mission of loving our neighbors.
So welcome to Jess Andrews. She is currently completing her MDiv at the Toronto School of Theology and is passionate about mountain biking, reading nerdy theology books, contemplative prayer, and soul care. So in good company here at Awaken. She loves creating space for meaningful encounters with God, creation, and each other by equipping people with tangible practices that integrate influences from ancient Christianity with mindfulness and embodiment. In a previous life, she was a registered nurse and worked and lived at a Christian wilderness retreat center with her husband and three boys for 11 years. At the heart of her vocational calling is the desire to speak into the social narratives that form our culture and ensure that they are rooted in life-giving theology. So welcome here, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you very much, Amy. I can't help but feel like the swirling picture that you talked about, there being a swirling covering, that's what it felt like being in the room here, having your music cover us. So thank you so much. Uh-oh, got my son's tablet here, and he has it set to turn off very quickly, and I don't know how to change it. That's okay. I'll just keep my finger on it. Hello to Zoom people and hello to the people that are here. I'm so happy to be here and thank you for having me. I'm just going to warn you right up front that this is not going to be a tidy sermon. The temptation is definitely there to take this messy topic of suffering, to try to assign a nice optimistic 3 points and tie it up with a bow. But that would frankly make me feel nauseous, because it would dishonor the painful reality of suffering and each of our journeys with it. So instead, this is a sermon about suffering and about joyful hope and about the two of them existing side by side. When the Israelites were wandering in the desert before entering the Promised Land, they carried around the Ark of the Covenant. And inside the Ark of the Covenant were the two tablets, the two stone tablets with the Ten Commandments. And recently I learned a really fascinating history tidbit about these tablets inside the Ark of the Covenant. I always thought there was one set of stone tablets inside the Ark of the Covenant, but it turns out there were two sets. And this is because in Exodus 32, when Moses comes down from meeting with God on Mount Sinai, he comes down and the people are worshiping the golden calf. And in his dismay, Moses hurls the stone tablets that have just been divinely engraved by God and smashes them to pieces. And a few chapters later, we get a new set of tablets that are newly chiseled, and these ones are not shattered. But the interesting thing is that both sets of tablets were carried around in the Ark of the Covenant, the whole and the broken side by side. And in the most holy of places, where God's presence was at for the people. And I just think that's a really beautiful symbol of the expansiveness of God's embrace, that the whole and the broken could be side by side. So sometimes we think of ourselves as humans on a continuum, broken at one side, healed at the other. Unfortunately, we're still trying to slough off the baggage of Plato's dualistic thinking. We also tend to do this kind of continuum thing with suffering, joyful hope at one side of the continuum, suffering at the other side of the spectrum of human experience. But this is not really all that accurate, because it just doesn't really hold true with the nuance of our human experiences. especially the really, really rich moments, moments when deep paradoxes of emotion exist, like maybe being with a loved one at the end of life, where we might feel a whole cocktail of things at the same time, like gratitude and grief, anger and sorrow, connection and loneliness. So today I just wanted to share with you a monologue based on Mary's presentation of the infant Jesus at the temple in Luke 2. And this story just struck me because it has that cocktail of emotions, that humanity aspect that I just felt like I could relate to. It's a joyous occasion, but it's also the first time in the Gospel of Luke that Mary is told there will be suffering ahead for both her and for Jesus. And so it's quite interesting that God tells Mary to expect suffering, and God tells us that too. And maybe that's something you need a reminder about today, that the suffering you're experiencing right now is not unexpected and it's not unforeseen to God. And just like we hear the prophecy that we're going to hear coming up, Simeon's prophecy of the bigger story, the bigger glory that will emerge, could there be something that God is up to that's bigger right now, even in this pandemic for us? So I invite you to not just listen, but to just let yourself experience this story, let your imagination be engaged, your five senses, your feelings. Allow your heart to follow Mary's roller coaster of emotions, and I pray that God will speak to us through it. All of it just felt so fresh and new. I'm still brand new as a mother, and Jesus is still very tiny. He's only 6 weeks old. And I was bone tired. I was just not at my best, still recovering from childbirth, and so weary from all the travel, Nazareth to Bethlehem, and now to Jerusalem. But I was eagerly looking forward to visiting the temple. According to the law of Moses, the allotted time had passed for my days of purification from childbirth, 40 days for a male child. We were going to Jerusalem to bring an offering to the temple priests so that I could be pronounced ceremonially clean and so that we could present Jesus to be dedicated to the Lord at the temple. Oh, the temple. It's absolutely magnificent. It's awe-inspiring, standing on the highest point in the city like a huge protector. The contrast between the dirty, earthen streets of Jerusalem and walking up those majestic, white stairs just always catches my breath. And in the center of the palatial, ornate structure is the Holy of Holies, the place where our God dwells. As Joseph and I entered the temple courts that day, I felt serene. I had this sense of devotion, like we were doing what was right. We were walking in the way of our God. Of course, I already knew Jesus' dedication was more of a formality. Of course, he already belonged to God, since he wasn't conceived by man. Yet it felt just so right that we should follow the customs of the law of Moses and formally consecrate Jesus to the Lord. But we had barely set foot in the temple courts when something unexpected happened. We had an astonishing encounter with Simeon. The moment he spotted us, his face broke open into the brightest smile. And even though I had never met this man, I knew he was an elder, known for being righteous and devoted to the Lord. Now, normally, as a new mom, I would have felt very protective of my baby in a man's presence like this. But I don't know what it was. There was just something about this man that I instantly felt safe and at ease in his presence. Despite Simeon's aging frame, he heartily reached out for Jesus, took him into his arms, and lifted him up high. His face was glowing with delight. Overcome with praise, he sang out, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my own eyes have seen your salvation, which you have faithfully prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I was absolutely amazed. I mean, I already knew Jesus was special, but this was on a whole nother level. Words can't express the peace and freedom that settled upon me as he said those words. My soul felt so uplifted within me, I felt like my feet could float right up off the ground. This could only be from the Spirit of the Lord. And I thought to myself, "Oh, Israel, has our long-awaited Messiah come at last?" But then Simeon abruptly changed his tone and he looked directly at me. He became very serious. And he said that Jesus was destined to cause the falling and rising of many people, to reveal the depths of people's hearts, and that there would be great opposition against him. I felt so confused. While I could sense truth in his words, I couldn't help myself from feeling dismayed. Is this what I wanted for my child? I was still digesting this when Simeon spoke his next words to me. "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Ugh. When he said the words, I felt them. I felt the truth of them slice right through me, and a wave of dread spread over me, as I instantly knew they were true, but I didn't know what they meant. If my joy had lifted my feet from the ground moments before, then the sword comment brought me crashing back down to earth. I saw my arms reach out in front of me as Simeon handed Jesus back to me, but I could barely even feel them. I guess I was just too shocked. Then Anna showed up. I felt her gentle presence caress me like a nurturing auntie or grandmother. But I did still feel like I was watching things unfold as in a dream. The purity of her praises to God and her prophecy of hope were a soothing balm to my bewildered emotions. Her words nursed me back to reality, and my soul responded, "Yes, Lord," my spirit said within me. "The words she speaks are good and true. Yes, Lord." And I whispered a prayer to myself, and I held my baby boy tight. My son, yet God's child. His presence grounded me. I sturdied my feet, felt a strength from the Lord infuse me, and I resolved to walk courageously with our Lord, to face whatever the future held. Just as I had answered the angel Gabriel several months before, I prayed in my heart, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord, and let it be with me according to your word. Amen." Well, that was a lot to take in for a brand new teenage mom. Simeon speaks those startling words, "A sword will pierce her very own soul too." And at this point in the story, remember, Mary doesn't yet know what's to come, even though we do. We know that Mary will experience the utter depths of despair as she witnesses the brutal murder of her own son. All of those high Israelite hopes that day in the temple, the hopes that they've had for years, even centuries, longings for a Messiah, dashed just like that. But then the surprising joy, the unspeakable jubilation, when somehow, what is this? Jesus rises from the dead? Showing that even the power of death, even the power of death is no match for the glorious, saving love, for the almightiness of God, our good Father. And the mystery of the cross is laced with this paradox, this powerful juxtaposition of emotions. And we call it a mystery because it just completely confounds our human way of thinking. The cross is a holy scandal. It's holy foolishness. The costliness of our Lord Jesus choosing to walk into tremendous suffering, to willingly enter the pain of death itself, and somehow, miraculously, unexpectedly, take that which should have been beyond all hope and transform it to bring forth life. This is the gospel story that we are part of. As Nikhila said, prayed before the service, this is the old story that we are a part of. But how do we bring it into the right now, entering year two of this pandemic, where the suffering perhaps is feeling longer and longer, and maybe hope is feeling harder and harder. And maybe when you look around at all the messed upness around us, maybe hope doesn't feel intertwined with suffering. Maybe hope just feels foolish. There's a lot of not knowing and uncertainty in suffering. But just because that is true, it's not necessarily true that there's nothing we can know. We do know. We're blessed to know from grief experts today and the learning that we have gained over years of study into our own humanity. We do know that it is not foolish to feel our sufferings, to sit with them. Dr. David Kessler is one of the foremost global experts on grief, and this is what he says. The only way out of the pain is through the pain. But no one teaches us how to do that in trauma, in grief, in losses of life or losses of relationship. But we cannot heal what we don't feel. We must name it and be with it to really heal. And I'm not talking about forgetting, he says. I'm talking about integrating grief in a healthy way. So Mary heard the prophecy that a sword would pierce her own soul. And she did not run away from it. She didn't distract herself with Netflix. We don't have many details from the scriptures, but we do know that it says she pondered these things in her heart. And we see her taking step after step forward in trust, even though she must have been filled with uncertainty in how God would unfold things before her. Yet it seems that she trusted God's goodness in and amidst all of that unknowing. The Gospels repeatedly portray her as steadfast, which is so notable because she's a female, and the male disciples are often portrayed as being very up and down in their convictions. Lastly, another thing that I believe we can know is that we can know that our hope in Jesus Christ is also not foolish. And in his life, death, resurrection, and the still in process reconciliation and cosmic restoration. Maybe no feels like too strong of a word here for you, because it's not scientifically sound. But there are valid and trustworthy ways of knowing that aren't in our heads. It's in the knowing of the roller coaster of Mary's story that we can trust that this is not a cheap or foolish hope. It's in the knowing of the intricacies of the redemptive stories that our fellow community members have walked through and we've walked through alongside them, that we can trust in God's goodness in complicated circumstances. We know this not with our heads, but with our hearts, because we have felt the kinds of things that Mary felt too. Things like joyful hope entangled with suffering. Things like brokenness and wholeness side by side. And we are together and each of us broken and whole side by side in God's presence. Amen.